Chapter 21, if you would please. Revelation, chapter 21. It's a scripture that speaks about that place called heaven. As I said, today we celebrate the birthday of one of our long-standing members, Sister Marie Sutherland. She was here before I got here. I got here 34 years ago on the 1st of December. Isn't that amazing? Never imagined. I mean, the first Sunday I was here and I looked upon this crowd, I told my wife, I said, I don't think we'll make it a month here. And now it's been 34 years. An amazing. But Marie's been here a little bit longer, I believe, than that. And I want to say, if I could buy 20 more years for her life, I'd gladly do it. I'd gladly do it. Of course, we can't even buy one more day, can we? That's all in the will of God. And I think we all agree that life is really brief. And seems the older you get, the more brief it becomes. And no one knows what a day will bring forth. I thought one day that we would become snowbirds, kind of like Brother Bobby Aldridge and his dear wife. They live down here during the winter. And I went up to Kentucky here a week ago or so ago and held the memorial service for my stepdad. Pray for their family. And I was up there, and I thought, I love Kentucky. You know, that's where I'm from. And I thought to myself, I told Jason, my son-in-law, I'd like to be a snowbird. I'd eventually retire and find a place up here to live. And he said, good luck on that. He said, you can't hardly find a place to live up here in that area. And so I don't know. Maybe that's not going to happen for us. We may just be permanent Florida residents. And I've determined that this is my home, and it has been for 46 years. I know Kentucky will always be in my heart, but I got to tell you, my home is here. But I believe that my next home is going to be up there. My next home is going to be heaven. And I tell you, that will be far better than Florida or Kentucky. So instead of being a snowbird, how about being a glory bird? You know, we're just going to go to heaven. I mean, great. Now, there is a home eternal for every believer in Jesus Christ, and that is heaven. I heard a story about a missionary by the name of Henry Morrison. Henry C. Morrison was a great missionary who served the Lord in Africa for over 40 years. He finally retired and decided to come back home. Him and his wife boarded a ship there in Africa, and they returned back to the United States. And he told his wife, I wonder if there'll be anybody that after 40 years that will be there to meet us when we get back home. Unknown to Henry Morrison and his wife, Teddy Roosevelt, the President of the United States, was also on that same ship. He had gone to Africa on one of his many hunting adventures. And so when the ship pulled into the New York Harbor, Henry Morrison, the missionary, he went out to see if anybody had come to welcome them back to the United States. And he saw thousands of people that were cheering. There were brass bands playing. There were signs and banners and billboards everywhere saying, "Welcome home." And Henry and his wife, while he was so excited, he went back to the galley. And he told his wife, he said, "You're not going to believe all the people that are here to greet us and welcome us back from Africa." Well, when Henry Morris and his wife walked out on the deck, there was nobody left. The people had all dispersed. There were no more signs or banners. There was no bands playing. There was nobody left out on the pier. Well, they were disappointed. And Henry Morrison went back to his hotel room. He had a very heavy heart. And as he sat there on his bed, he asked his wife, he said, "Honey, I just don't get it. For 40 years, we poured our lives into this ministry and into being missionaries in the heart of Africa. And now we come back to America and not even one single soul welcomed us home." Well, Henry's wife sat down on the bed and put her arm around Henry and said, "Honey, you're forgetting something." And he said, "What's that?" "You're not home yet." Think about that. We're not home yet. You see, heaven is my true and lasting home. Don't misunderstand me. I have a home here in Florida, but I'm not really at my true home yet. And I can sing the song that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I guess even the saints of old kind of felt that way about it. I think of the great heroes of faith that are mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I think of Abraham, who God called him to leave the heathen lands, the Ur of the Chaldees, and go to a land of promise. We read in Hebrews 11:9 that by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Describing those other believers, verse 16, that they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." And God has prepared heaven for his people. And he has prepared a wonderful city for us. Now, how can I go to heaven? I'm glad you asked that. Because listen, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You have to be spiritually prepared if you're going to go to heaven. Most people will never go to heaven. I read that a lot in Scripture, because they have no desire for Christ. They have no desire for such a holy place. They don't feel any real need to be saved from sin. And so most people are just living for the time they have here. They're just living for the world and for all it has to offer. And I suppose that most all people have some fears of what's beyond this world, fears of death. It's just a natural thing to be that way. Maybe you remember the incident when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, raised him from the grave. You find that over in the Gospel of John. And in chapter 11, I believe it is. And, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and Lazarus died and was buried, and he'd been dead a number of days. And the Bible tells us that his sisters were grieving over his departure. And Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had just been here, what a regret Lord, you could have raised him. You could have healed him of his sickness, but now he's dead. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Well, Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But look what Jesus told her. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He assured her that although your brother's dead, everyone that believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has eternal life. And Jesus said they shall never die. Now, he wasn't referring just to physical acts of death. As we know, unless the blessed rapture of the saints takes place, that all of us are going to, well, we're going to pass away. We're going to die. But really, death for a Christian is merely a transition from this lowly place of earth and all that we go through. We're going to be a transition into that glorious eternal state, that glorious state of heaven. So where are you going when you die? Now you answer that. Where are you going? That's a mystery for many people. And people have different answers. Some believe in reincarnation. I hope you don't believe that. And that's why in some countries they won't even swat an insect. Because that bug might be one of your ancestors. And you wouldn't want to hurt it. Well, friends, I don't believe in that nonsense. You see, we are made in the image of God. We're not made in the image of an animal, although some folks act that way. We're made in the image of Almighty God. So how will anyone get to heaven? You know, Jesus answered that question in John chapter 14. Jesus told those troubled disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare this place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that great? Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. He told them before that he would have to leave them and go ascend back to the Father. And he would have to die on a cross for sinners, and he would rise again from the dead, and then he would ascend back to heaven. He would be buried in a tomb, but he told him he would rise again from the dead in 3 days. And those disciples, while they were frightened, they were confused about what he had told them. Well, how are we going to make it to this Father's house you're talking about? So Jesus wanted to give these disciples assurance for the future. And he said, I don't want you to be worried. I don't want you to be troubled about death or what waits you on the other side of death. Jesus said, listen, if you believe in God, if God's your Father, you believe in God, hey, believe also in me. I've gone to prepare for you a place in heaven. And I tell you what, as I said last week, Jesus promised he would come and get us when it's time for us to go. So you're going to have wonderful transportation when you leave earth and go to heaven. And we go to heaven when we die, of course. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. Isn't that great? So he comes to take us to heaven. Now then, as we look at our text in Revelation 21, let's survey this heaven. What's heaven going to be like? Let's survey the wonderful conditions of this heavenly home that the Bible promises to every child of God. Well, look in Revelation 21, if you would, our text, and immediately you notice in the very first verse, He says, I saw, John gets a vision. He said, I saw heaven and a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So first of all, we can see that heaven is going to be, Jesus said there's going to be a whole new place, a new heavens and a new earth. Now, does that mean that the first heavens and the first earth will be totally annihilated and destroyed? I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. I think if I study and compare that with other scriptures, it indicates that the earth is going to be renovated. You read that in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, where the Lord promises in verse 9, he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, that's God's desire, that we should come to repentance and faith in his Son. And he adds this, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But notice in verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God's going to make all things new. I tell you what I think. I believe God's going to turn things back to creation. God's going to take away the curse upon this old earth, and it's going to be just like the Garden of Eden once again. Isn't that something? So we can see that heaven's a whole new place. And it's going to be permanently new. The place you live in now will disintegrate. That's why you always got to keep working on that house. You know, keep working on it. But you won't have to do anything like that in heaven. Whatever house you have in heaven will not have to be remodeled or rebuilt. No, because you know what? It's going to be absolutely perfect for what the Lord has. But there's something else. Not only is this a whole new place, this heaven, you know, the Bible says it's a holy place. It's a holy place. Notice in verse 2, he said, I, John, saw the, he called it a holy city. The new Jerusalem, it's coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Wow. So this new Jerusalem, this wonderful place called heaven, it's a holy city. It is likened to a beautiful bride walking down the aisle. I tell you, probably the prettiest that the woman will ever be is on her wedding day, right? She wears that beautiful dress and has her hair all perfect, and there's you don't find much flaws in that. And she's beautiful. Well, that's what heaven's going to be. The new Jerusalem will descend, and it'll be beautiful. And heaven will be a holy place. There'll be no unclean thing will ever be in heaven. No sin will be there. We shall listen. One day, we're going to be finally free from all this sin. We're going to be finally free from it. I think of that great song I love to sing sometimes. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God, and John saw it descending from heaven while in Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold, and when my frail tent here is folded, yes, Brother Joe, when this frail body has run its course. He said, my eyes shall its glory behold. There's no sin allowed in that city. Nothing defiling or mean. No pain, no sickness can enter. No crepe on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrows and cares are forgotten. There's no tempter there to annoy. No parting words are ever spoken. There's nothing to hurt or destroy. There's no heartaches known in that city. No tears will ever moisten the eyes. There's no disappointment in heaven. No envy or strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy. They live in sweet harmony there. Oh, my heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends are too passing away, and soon I shall join their bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe and now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They've overcome sin and the tempter. They've reached that fair city at last. I don't know about you, but the longer I live in this world and see the things that I see, the more aggravated I get. Because sin and wickedness and perversion seems to abound on every hand. Why, just watch your television and you can't help but see all of it. But I tell you what, you'll have none of that in heaven. No sin. Why, you won't even sin. Now, that's a miracle, isn't it? Amazing. I can't hardly conceive of that, but it is so for what God told us. Oh, yes, heaven is a whole new place. It's going to be a holy place. But listen, it's also a divinely inhabited place. Verse 3, John in this vision, he said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What do you think is the greatest thing about going to heaven? Oh, they sing a lot of songs about it. I heard that one song, I'll have a little log cabin in the land of glory. Well, I think it's going to be more substantial than that. But if all I could have would be a little log cabin, I'd be pretty happy with that. I remember Clyde Hancock, my friend. We started in the ministry together, Brother Bobby, and Clyde used to say, Brother, it's all, if I just had a broom that could sweep off the porch of God, I'd just be happy to do that. And yes, indeed. What will be the greatest thing about going to heaven? Well, of course, we'll be able to see the precious loved ones that have departed before us. We'll be reunited with them. Thank God for that. I don't think it's going to be just the streets of gold or the gates made with pearl. It's not just going to be the crystal river flowing from the throne of God. I tell you what, the greatest thing about heaven is the fact that God will dwell with us. We will be with Jesus, and he will be with us in heaven. I'm going to tell you, this might sound a little weird, but if Jesus isn't there, I don't want to go. But I believe the Lord Jesus will be there, and we'll see his face, and we'll worship him, and oh, we'll spend an eternity in his glory, beholding all of his excellencies and his glory forever and forever. As the psalmist said in Psalm 17:50, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. But there's something else about heaven. You know, it is a home where we're never going to cry again. The scripture says in verse 4 of our text that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Ah, look at that. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these are words are true and faithful. God will remove all of their sorrows. And there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. Oh, friends, what makes us cry here in this world? Well, there are many things I know. But I suppose the thing that brings the greatest tears to our eye is the loss of our loved ones when they die and they leave us. That makes us cry. I tell you, today there's a lot of movie stars and celebrities crying. They've lost everything. Lost their home to those terrible fires out in Los Angeles. Of course, most of those people are quite wealthy. I'm sure they'll rebuild their homes, but a lot of those poor people won't be able to. But I guarantee you there are millions of little smelty fish that are pretty happy today because they got all the water. What makes us cry the most? Is it not the decease of loved ones? Yes, it certainly. I think most all of us have cried some tears because of precious mother, father, sister, brother, child has left us here in the world. I read this poem sometimes at funerals to give hope. It's called Together Again. Together again, over yonder God's promise the way it will be. Never again to no parting together, just you and me. Together again, up in heaven removed from life's sorrow and care. No worry about tomorrow. Together again over there. Together again, glad reunion, happy meeting in heaven above. Once more I'll be standing beside you, together again in God's love. Together again, I'll be waiting for the day you walk through heaven's door, holding hands in the midst of God's glory, together again, evermore. What a glad reunion day it'll be for that. Well, I tell you, in heaven, there's no more disease, no more death. There are no more hospitals, no more rehab centers, no more nights of pain, no more dementia. We'll forget all about that in heaven, right? No more pills. No more procedures. Ah, my friends. There'll be no more crying. No more tears. No more sorrows in that wonderful place of heaven. But may I add that heaven is a home where we'll thirst no more. And so in verse 5, we see God on the throne. He says, I'm going to make all things new. He said, Write, for these words are true and faithful. As he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. In heaven, there's no more thirst. It's what he promised here. But down in this world, our thirst is never satisfied. Oh, we're always looking for something better, aren't we? We're just looking for anything that will make us a little more happier, a little more prosperous, You know, we count our coins and we treasure our possessions and our money and we're always trying to accumulate something more, looking for something better. We have that insatiable thirst to have things. But Jesus said, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now you say, "Pastor, are you going to preach against my money? Are you going to preach against my possessions? Are you going to preach against my fine custom home? Are you going to preach against my BMW or Mercedes? Are you going to preach against all those fine things?" No, I'm not. God bless you with it. I mean, if you can afford it, have it. I mean, that's great. But I'm going to tell you, that will never quench your thirst. Only Jesus can do that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can really satisfy your soul. Ultimately. I mean, that is so, so very true. And I got news for you. There's going to come a day when I'll say goodbye to all the stuff I've got. I'm going to say goodbye to all of my possessions because you can't take them with you. Someone said, "Have you ever seen a hearse pulling a Cadillac?" No. No, and naked you came into this world, and naked you'll return. Of course, you'll be buried in a fine suit of clothes, I'm sure. But no, you can't take anything with you. You leave as you came here. You'll turn loose of all of those possessions. But I won't have any regrets. Because what the Lord has for me up there is so much better than anything that I have down here. We will thirst no more. My friend, are you thirsty for something better? Are you thirsty for the salvation of the Lord Jesus? Are you thirsty for eternal life? Are you thirsty for heaven? Listen to the invitation that our Lord gives here in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. He says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Now that's an open invitation to all of us. If you're thirsty, if you're thirsting for something better, if you're thirsting for Christ, if you're thirsting for heaven, I venture to say that God gave you that kind of thirst. And He gives such a wonderful promise that whosoever will, why, let him come and drink, is what Jesus said. I believe that with all my heart. That He gave that invitation to you. And if you're lost, and you want to be saved, and you want eternal life, and you want heaven, Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him come to me and take of this water of life, this water of everlasting life." Oh, my friends, will you come to Christ? Will you come to Him? Will you come in faith? Will you come in trusting Him as your Savior? I close here to say that this heavenly home is our forever home. We read that in verse 7, that heaven is the inheritance of everyone that believes in Jesus. If you're saved today,
If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can assure you by God's word, you are going to heaven. Rejoice in that. Oh, my friend, it's not a day for grief and sorrow. It's a day for rejoicing in the wonderful promise of God. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians that one day the Lord is going to return. And he tells us that the trumpet is going to sound. And he said the dead in Christ, those who have already passed away, they're going to rise first out of their graves. Oh, when they hear the voice of Christ and the trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so the Lord says, we shall not prevent them that are asleep. And that sleep is a euphemism for death. And that's kind of the way it is. You know, in fact, the word cemetery is derived from the Greek word meaning a place of sleep. Euphemistic of death. And if you're like me, you know, when you sleep in your bed, you kind of lose all concept of time. I go to sleep in my bed. It seems like it's much earlier than it's ever been. Why, anymore, I can't even hardly stay awake past 9 o'clock at night. I used to roam and run till 2 or 3 in the morning. But, Brother Joe, I can't do that anymore. These 70-year-old bones, I got to have their rest. But often I'll wake up, as old people do, many times in the night. And whenever I wake up, I have to go in there and look at the clock. And what time is it? Ah, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'll add it all up. I went to sleep at 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. That's 6 hours. I need another hour. And I'll go back to sleep and wake up again. But dying is similar to that. In one instant, we close our eyes and we take one last breath. Oh, we tried to stay awake as long as we could. But finally, our bodies said, no more. When I lay my head on my pillow at night, I know that unless the good Lord calls me to come home to heaven, I'm going to wake up in the morning. Precious believers go to sleep, but they wake up to sleep no more. They open their eyes, and they're in heaven. And I got to believe the first one they're going to see is Jesus himself. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Well, just as there is a place called heaven, we read in verse 8 of our text that the bad news. He said, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Just as there is a place called heaven, there is also a place called hell. Let's face the reality of this. My friend, hell will be the home of the devil and his angels, and hell will be the home of every unbeliever. And that means you. Oh, how important this is to know for absolute sure that you're saved. Your sins have been forgiven by Jesus. You have come to him in repentance and faith, and you have placed your trust in him as your Savior. And if you have, thank God, you won't have to worry about hell. I tell you, I have some good news for you. You don't have to end up in hell. You see, our Savior Jesus Christ died on a cross and shed His blood for our sins on that cross, and He rose again from the dead to save sinners, to rescue us from the awful perils of eternal punishment. Someone said, when I was young, I was sure of many things. But now that I'm old, there are only two things which I'm sure of. One is that I'm a miserable sinner. And secondly, that Christ is an all-sufficient Savior. And He truly is. Would you pray with me? Father God, we can only rejoice that our names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, we can have peace and assurance that through faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that heaven is our forever home, and one day, by Your grace and mercy, we will take our last breath and we will enter into that wonderful place. Oh Lord, grant it for everyone here today. It could be that there are those who do not believe in our midst. I'm sure of it. Oh Holy Spirit, move in their souls, even now, that they may be turned from their unbelief to simple faith in Jesus, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Grant them this precious faith that they may look unto You, Lord Jesus, they may trust You as Savior, and have this wonderful gift of heaven and eternal life. Grant it, I pray, for Your glory and Your honor, for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, we'll ring a bell when it's time to eat. You'll hear the bell, and then you can line up out there.